made in all of our hearts, God. I pray that, Father, as we hear this, it's not me trying to say that this is what we have to do, Lord. I pray that this is what your heart is and that I am conveying your heart to the people, Lord. And you said that if we would have ears to hear, that we would hear. And so I pray that we all do have ears to hear. No matter what you take away from this message today, I pray that everyone that is in the sound of my voice today will have a more intimate, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So much so, Lord, that they have the peace of God, Lord. They've got the hope of God. That righteousness, peace, and joy is what the kingdom's all about.
Right.
We want the joy of the Lord. We want the peace of God. And we want that blessed hope, Lord, which we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now be my voice, because Lord, I'm just a man with unclean lips. Lord, speak your word through me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You're kind of getting a belated because I wasn't here last week, Christmas message, but it's not really a Christmas message. It's actually been transformed into going into 2020 because this is what the Lord told me to do for you. And so please listen intently. For 6,000 years, now, the Bible has forecasted God's plan for man, right? It's about roughly about 6,000 years. We don't believe in the billions of years old and all that whole hypocrisy that's out there and stuff like that. God created the earth, right? And he formed it and he put the, you know, that's just what we believe. If you don't believe that, then you might as well not believe the rest of the Bible, because that's just who God is, okay? And yes, he can create the world with age in it. Hello, he's eternal, right? So all these people say, well, this is billions of years old. Well, you know what? Stuff might be billions of years old that God's using, because he's eternal. Eternal past and eternal present. So, you know, he forms it and he's using what he's got. So don't freak out when these people come up and tell you that the world's billions of years old and stuff like that. No, the earth has been around for 6,000 years, but God's been around for eternity. So we can explain it that way, right? But God has forecasted his plans for man with 100% accuracy. That's what I want to start with. If you have read this Bible, and I pray you have, and if you haven't, read it, because it's God's letter to you, okay? Not just me. I'm just one gift amongst this whole body, and the rest of you matter just as much. Every word that has been prophesied within this Bible that has ever been prophesied has come to pass, and there's only a few that are left, and I do not doubt that they will come to pass as well. God's perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. He didn't make a mistake when he put the giftings in you. He's just waiting on you to co-labor with him. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Why is that so good? Because he says, now I get to send the Holy Spirit, which is what? Omnipresent. He can be in every one of us so that we can develop and that we can begin to build our most holy strength. Spiritual muscle, spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. This is what we need. If we keep looking at things naturally, we're going to freak out like the rest of the world. We've got to train ourselves to do that. You don't go into the gym, right? You don't build the muscle that you built all your life and work around and stuff like that without having done what? Had resistance and trained and went through trials and tribulation to get to the point where you're building up. Well, God's doing the same thing with us. We're in training, in righteousness. He's getting us to do the right things all the time, eventually. Not probably until we get to be with Jesus, right? But we're a work in progress, praise God. And so when we do fail, we have Jesus Christ to forgive us so we can keep moving on, so we can go back into the gym. He's not shutting the door anymore. He's not opening up the earth and letting swallow in the people when they sin. We have Jesus Christ. He forgives us. We get a second chance and a third and a 70 times 7, if you will. But God's plans for man have been 100% accurate to date. You need to understand that to begin with. The question for you today is, do you believe? In other words, do you have faith that God is in control of all things? I got to pause. Do you believe? Do you have enough faith to know that God is in control of all things? Yes, our government. Yes, our president. Yes, other nations. Yes, 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 yes. Even though they may be falling apart on the outside, what does it say in the Bible about us? Even though we are falling apart on the outside, and we are, right? Because we can't live forever. Our inner man is being what? Renewed day by day. Though the outer man may be decaying, which we will eventually. We're not going to look as good as we are now, Ed. I mean, you know, eventually we're going to, you know, take it down a notch, right? But I'm just kidding. Nobody's laughing, so I'll just stop the jokes, okay? All right. Though the outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. You know, if we yoke up with God, if we plug into the source of wisdom, if we plug into the source of knowledge, true knowledge. You know, worldly knowledge isn't going to get you anywhere. Put you in a coffin, back to the dust of the earth, and darkness forever. But God's knowledge, God's wisdom, you having God's heart, being made in the image of God, being sons and daughters of the Most High, nothing is impossible for you. And you're going to see that in a minute from the Scriptures. So the question is, do you believe that God is really in control of all things? If everything has come to pass, it has come to pass all the way up, and we're at the end of the book, folks. We're living in the end times. If it's all been true, why not hang on to the last part? Because it's what we need to be professing to those who have no hope, to those who are sitting in churches and don't believe the gifts are still alive and don't believe that you can still lay hands on the sick and recover. What a hopeless way to live. With a last body. We're his body. What's not attached? We're attached. Of course it's still available. And that's why we hear reports overseas more than we do here. Because the faith here, we got doctors and insurance companies and all these other things that take care of all this stuff for us. So we don't have a tendency to have to, you know, the first thing place we go to. And listen, I'm guilty. I'll go to CVS before I'll go to the Lord sometimes. And I've got to train myself in the gym to go to God first. He ultimately is the only one in the source that is going to heal us anyway. Benadryl will last for only so long, and it won't work anymore, and you got to go to something else. It's just stuff he's created, and yeah, I believe in doctors and nurses. Luke was a physician. I will go to a doctor if I'm sick and stuff like that. But we've got to learn to go to our Lord first, because he might just want to do something special in you. And why not let somebody lay hands on that may have the gift of healing? For crying out loud, you don't want to call the pastor to the hospital for you and pray over you if you know somebody in your church has the gift of healing. I'd rather have that person pray over me so I can get it right away. Now, we can all heal. You know, if you're in a position where there ain't nobody else around, God's in you as much as he and anybody else. But there are people that the Holy Spirit says specifically he does distribute gifts accordingly. We have to remember these things. Do you believe? Or are historical events nothing more than happenstance and coincidence? Is everything that we've read to this point where we know that God, that had to be God, is it just coincidence and happenstance? On a more personal note, here is another question. Do you believe or have faith that God is so infinite in his understanding that he can direct your steps or do what seems impossible anytime he chooses to do in your life? I'm going to say that one more time. Do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you believe that God is so infinite in his understanding? He's omniscient. That's the big word, omniscient. That he can direct your steps, you personally, every one of you personally, or to do, not just direct your steps, or to get you to do what seems impossible. Not the things that anybody ordinarily can do. That's impossible is routine for God. The things that are possible are just in our own human strength. David said he could leap over a wall. Not in the natural, he couldn't. Depends on how high it was. But with God, do you believe that anytime he chooses in your life, he can do the impossible through you? If you're a willing vessel, can he heal somebody? Can he raise the dead through you? Can he have you lift a car that normally couldn't be lifted? Yes. Oh, no, that's just adrenaline. Yeah, who made the adrenaline, right? Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant. How about that word? Do we need to look it up? Abundant in strength. His understanding, here's another great word. His understanding is infinite. Pick a point. You can't. Infinite is infinite past, infinite future, and he's in the now. Always in the now. But it's been there. I've always looked at it like this. God's outside of time. We know a beginning and an end. We can't understand what infinite is. We have a hard time, and it really scares us sometimes when we think, you know, die. Well, I'm going to live forever. Well, forever's like, what's forever? God is outside of time. That's why he knows your past, and you can go in there and get it healed.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why he knows your present, so he can minister to you right where you are. And that's why he knows your future, so he can get you and to move you and to shove you sometimes to do what he wants you to do. Because his plans for you were there before you were ever born, which we'll read in a minute. that be? Because God is awesome. He's abundant in strength. He's infinite in understanding. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's Almighty God. Get the awe of God this year. Amen. Don't do church. Get the awe of God, and church will happen. It'll happen outside these four walls. It'll happen in the supermarket. It'll happen anywhere you go because God's going to use you. You just have to yield. You just have to give up. You just have to surrender. You just got to pick up your cross. What's the cross? Well, what was on the cross? Jesus did everything that the Father told him to do so he could go to the cross, pick it up, die, and make everything right. It's not always a burden to carry the cross. It's a privilege. Psalm 139, verse 4. Even before there is a word on my tongue. And sometimes I want to take some of those ones that are coming off my tongue and just. Because God's going, stop! You're speaking death! Not yet! Oh, he did it. Jesus, come over here. What? Forgive him. Because he's killing himself. He's speaking words of death. He's taking his legs out right up from underneath him. He doesn't realize that he's made in our image and the words that come out of your mouth are impactful. You say one cross word to somebody and they probably will never talk to you for the rest of your life. That's how impactful your words are. Oh, you can say 1,000 good ones to them and they'll love you all the time, but that first cross word you give them, they're gone. They come into church, oh, they love you when you're a pastor and you're uplifting and you're joyful and stuff like that, but the first rebuke I got to give, oh, God, what happened? They didn't come back next week. They don't realize I'm doing it because I love them and I'm trying to shape them and I have a responsibility as a pastor to protect you, to guide you, to direct you, and to bring you truth and to correct you when you're wrong. And if you can't take that as a family member, then you don't need to be here because you're not really in love. You're not really part of the family. You just want to come for the good stuff. It's like going to a party and going, man, if they ain't got what we want, we're going to go somewhere else where they got the good stuff. I mean, I love preaching on love and grace and mercy and stuff like that, but sometimes we need a good kick in the... Yeah, and me too. I'm not exempting myself from this whole thing with God because I'm... Look, Lord, I need you right now. We all need him. We all need him. Behold... Before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. He knows exactly. He knows exactly even before we speak. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way. How many of you guys plan your way every day? You got a day. Everybody's got a day timer. Yep. But what you don't realize when you're a Christian, the Lord directs your steps. He'll put an interruption in your life that you'll do more in than you would have ever have done with all the plans you made for the rest of your life. Jesus ministered best when? During his interruptions. When the woman came up. And they said, don't bother the master. He's over here doing this kind of stuff. And she came up and touched the hem of his garment. And she was healed. Just because of the faith she had. You know what I'm going to tell you today? Interrupt Jesus. Interrupt him. Oh, well, he's too busy. He's hearing all the prayers of all these so many people, and he needs it more than I do. And da, 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 da. He can handle it. He can be everywhere at once. It's like when we have our next week when I'll talk about our concert of prayer that we're going to have, and sometimes we're all praying at once. Some people walk into church, oh my God, and you can't understand anything. Everybody's praying at once, as if God can't hear your prayer when we're all praying at the same time. Like when you go home or you go anywhere else. Like when you're praying at home and I'm praying at home. Excuse me, I'm listening to Scott. I'll listen to you in a minute. Let's take turns for 10 billion people on the earth. That's called a concert of prayer. Begin to pray. And then when people are praying in tongues, and they're praying in their own prayer language and stuff like that. Well, that's just babble. Yeah, for us, not for God. Because if you're praying from your heart, he understands exactly what's coming out from within. And sometimes it's just a grunt or a groan. And he can translate a grunt or a groan because he knows your heart. So stop spiritualizing everything so much to say it's so charismatic and understand that the Word of God is true. And if your heart is right, even when we're wrong, he'll still love us and honor us. He knows his kids. Every time your kid wasn't perfect when they grew up. I don't know if anybody had a perfect kid when they grew up. You loved them right through it because you wanted them to grow. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs your steps. You got to believe these things. I'm telling you, do you believe it? Are we reading this? Is this just a Sunday morning service, or do you really, really believe it? That's my challenge to you this year before you enter the January 1st. Do you believe God? Do you believe what he said? And if you did, do it. And if you don't see it with your eyes, and it's kind of like the song we sang when it is well and stuff like that, even though my eyes may not see, just trust that God is who he says he is, and no matter how it comes out, what's the worst thing that can happen? You open your eyes and you're in the presence of the Lord. So you die. But you don't die. Yet shall you live. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've got nothing to lose. Nothing. God certainly knows each one of our situations and is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. You've all read it. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. This is David. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. Do you believe that? You scrutinize. I love that word. You scrutinize my path. You're not alone, folks. When you think that you're all alone and you're lost and he doesn't care, he scrutinizes your path and you're lying down and he is intimately acquainted with every one of your ways. Do you believe it? Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. It's God. We're not here for some religious type. God's here. His Holy Spirit lives in every one of us. He's here. And he wants to light up his word. But that word's got to be lit up in you. Because you're the carrier of his word.
Yes.
That's how you light it up. That's how people get healed. That's why even when they die, they still have hope because they see that your love covers so much. Not just a multitude of sins, but love covers grief. We got to love each other. If I threw the whole book down and just said, look, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and love your neighbors yourself, we'd have it all done. Because it would play out. Love plays out in patience and kindness and goodness. Love plays out in being other-oriented and putting a hug around somebody when they're hacking and coughing in the middle of the night. We got to do this. 2020, we got to do this. We got to be active. We got to be active doers of the word, not just effectual hearers. Sunday to Sunday, good sermon, bad sermon, whatever, criticize what that. We got to be doers of God's word, and we got to act in faith, and we got to be bold. And you're in the middle of the supermarket, brother, look, you don't look. Can I pray for you? No. Okay. I did my part. Thank you, God. But what if he says yes?
I know, right?
You know what? I'm a Christian. And when I prayed for people before, some of them gotten healed. So in Jesus' name, I pray that whatever you're going through, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just be healed and know that God loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Put your trust in him today. Amen. And so you'll be called an idiot and you walk away saying, I feel good. Or the guy's going to, and for the most part from what I hear from people in their testimonies, thank you. Thank you. Because everybody cares when somebody cares. To know that somebody cares, even a stranger, they care. God designed each of us uniquely and specifically calls each of us to do our part. You're all unique. None of us are the same. Our DNA, that is what is one incredible thing with the billions of people on this earth. Nobody's DNA is the same. Oh my gosh. That many different. That's some people look alike, yeah, because there's a lot of similarities. But God creates us uniquely, each one of us, each of us, and he specifically calls each of us to do our part. This world was not made as a playground for us to get rich and to be happy and die. Because all you see is the back of the box in a dark place called hell if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way. There's only one vehicle to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ the Son, because there's only one who was sinless. It's not Muhammad, it's not Hare Krishna, it's not New Age, it's not all these other things. They may claim it is, and they may argue it all the way till the day they die and take their last breath. And they're going to see the back of a black box, and they're going to fires of hell. Jesus Christ is the only way.
Yes.
And he has created you and designed you specifically because he knew you before the foundation of the world to be something more than just exist and be lukewarm in this world. You are to be a part of what God is doing, of his plan on the earth. And we have got to get excited and have people to excite us and rub alongside us and iron sharpening iron and doing the things to get us to be motivated to do what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. We cannot be selfish in this world. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. You can't laugh. God laughs. Every time he looks at you, he laughs. Look, we can have fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. But we cannot forsake our priority, and that is as the call of God on our life. And you all, I don't care what anybody says in here, you all have a call of God on your life. You just got to get deep. You got to go in. You got to stay with it. And you got to say, God, I got to know. You got to, and other people will verify it. It's when somebody comes up here and says, I am the greatest singer in the world. And God has called me to sing on your choir and I'm going to be up there and do that stuff. And nobody else recognizes that gift. You're in trouble. God will always verify through two or three witnesses. Or is it one or two? Whatever. Okay? So if you think you got the gift, just do me one favor. And I know you all do have one. Just make sure that somebody else kind of agrees with you a little bit. And if you don't want to do it in front of the body, I go back to the Abraham Lincoln commercials. Ask your husband, honey, does this dress make me look fat? Don't answer it. But you got to answer it, okay? Because if you don't, we're in trouble, okay? You know what I'm trying to say here. I'm getting myself all screwed up and turned around. You're unique is what I'm trying to tell you. Every one of you has a plan, and God wants you to fulfill it this year. And by God, if I have anything to do with it, I'm going to help you. And everybody else in here that I know that has that kind of an attitude will help you to do just that, to live the best life you can for God. The problem for us, okay, so now I get to the problem. Do we listen? Easy to hear this stuff. Do we listen? And more importantly, do we obey? The first man, Adam, he didn't. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she did. Mary was called by God to serve his purposes, right? She listened. And she what? And she obeyed. Luke 1, 26 to 33. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. To a virgin. Keep note of that. Engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of, keep note of this, the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Mind you, she was a teenager, just throwing that in. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, well, what kind of salutation this was? Can you imagine a teenager using the word salutation? It's pretty good, right? The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Oh, I would love to hear those words for every one of us, right? And behold, you will, not you might. He knew, right? Because he knows Mary's thoughts. She knows them from afar. You will conceive. He knew the one to choose. And when he chooses you, he knows when he's choosing you. Don't be stubborn. Just yield. That's the problem with all of us. We don't yield fast enough. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Could you imagine? And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Whoa, that blows my mind. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Verse 7 and 38. Let's move on. How could this happen? How could it happen? Anybody want to read with me? Come on, all together. For nothing will be impossible with God. Remember the virgin? No relations. Pregnant with God. Oh, man. Is that an impossible thing or what? Being a virgin and being pregnant with God. If I said, you'd be considered a lunatic if you said that to anybody today who didn't believe. You're going to become pregnant, and you're going to become pregnant with God. What are you drinking? How much eggnog did you have this Christmas?